How are you guys all doing? Good. As Sarah said, my name's Emily. I have been an intern here for about 3.5 years now. If it's your first time here at New Philly, welcome to Friday Fire. To give you that are new to our church a little bit of background about myself, I would say that my walk with God is very backwards. And what I mean by that is, I mean, even coming here as an intern pastor, one of the requirements of being an intern pastor is that you are sure that you have a full-time ministry calling. When I came, I didn't even know that was a requirement. Luckily, my spiritual father, Pastor Christian, he was very discerning and he saw that calling upon my life. But rather than from the get-go knowing I have a full-time ministry calling, it took me all 3 years to find out, oh, okay, maybe I have a full-time ministry calling. It was also backwards in that, thanks, Joel. It was also backwards in that I kind of grew as a Christian in this church, but as a minister. That's weird, right? When you grow up as a Christian, you're kind of babied a little bit. You grow up in a church family, but I was always a minister, but I was growing as a Christian. It was fun. It was interesting. And then I also went to seminary to read the Bible. I hadn't read the Bible and then thought it was so interesting and then wanted to dive deeper into the Bible and so went to seminary. But I went to seminary when I hadn't even read like half the Bible. And so that was interesting. But when I was in seminary, I didn't hide it. I thought it was pretty obvious, my background. And so I remember this particular time when I was in my Pentateuch class. Pentateuch means the first 5 books of the Bible. And I was in my Pentateuch class, and the professor starts teaching on the book of Leviticus. And, you know, my classmates, they know that I'm not, like, ultra church. And so they have this joke with me, and they're always like, every time we go, say, if we're in the book of Galatians, they're like, did you read Galatians? You know? And I'd be like, yes, I've read Galatians. But sadly, when I was in my Pentateuch class and he started teaching about the book of Leviticus, my friend goes, did you read the book of Leviticus? And I was like, no. And it's just funny that I'm learning the details and the theology and even the book of Leviticus in its original language before I've even read the book in general in English. It's just ironic, but you know, when I went home, it's all fun and jokes, but when I went home, I felt the grieving of the Holy Spirit, you know? I haven't read this big, long book in the Bible, and so I started reading the book of Leviticus, and if you haven't read the book of Leviticus, it's okay, but what it talks about in the beginning is all these, you know, sacrifices that we have to make to the Lord. So the sin offering, the burnt offering, and all these animals that you have to give to the Lord. And I remember as I was going page after page, I kept thinking after every page, what a waste. Paige, what a waste. Because they're like, take your best livestock and then take out all the blood and all the fat. That's what we normally throw away. And then take what we actually find useful, the meat, and take it outside and burn it. Don't use any of it. That's like 2 slabs of prime rib right there. And I'm like, what a waste. And I'm going page to page. It's like, if there's food that's clean, but it touches unclean food, you got to throw it away. I'm like, what a waste. You know, I'm one of those people where if I'm cooking and something falls on the ground, there's no like 10-second rule. Like if it's steak, I don't care if it's been there for an hour. I'm going to pick it up, wash it off, re-marinate it, and cook it. And I'm going to eat it. Why? Because it's a waste. No? Maybe it's because I grew up Chinese. Is there any Chinese people in the house? Yo, you're Korean. There's no one here? Oh, my gosh. Oh, are you Chinese? Okay, there we go. I got one sister in the house. Man, Chinese families are cheap. We don't waste nothing. I know, like, the majority of people here are Korean. And you're probably thinking, no, it's more of an Asian thing. Like, all Asian families are cheap. But that's not true. You think your mama cheap, I think my mama's cheaper. All right. When I came here to Korea, I was appalled by how much food y'all waste. Like, there's no takeout culture, like leftover culture. It's like when it's there, you just throw it away. Like, I remember back in the day with my family when, you know, when we go to Chinese restaurants, my mom would order a plate of pork and we eat it all the pork's gone. And then the waitress comes to take the plate. My mom's like, we're not done with that yet. And she takes it and there's like some like deep fried garlic flakes, you know, that was used to marinate the pork. And she's like, here, honey, put that in your bowl and mix it up in your rice and you eat that, you know. But I'm not going to lie, those deep fried garlic flakes were really bomb. But sometimes I was full, and I knew, though, that if I didn't eat it, my mom would be like, hey, can I get a takeout box? And, you know, just growing up as Asian American, there's already that minority embarrassment, so I just eat it. But being Chinese, growing up in a Chinese family, I knew that we don't waste nothing. Okay. My personality, I'm very practical, time-oriented, crisis aversion oriented. All right, so not just food. I don't like to waste money. I don't like to waste time. If you take me on a long cut, it's going to be really hard for me to regain back my joy. I don't like to waste effort. If I invest in something, I don't like to waste the investment. I just don't like to waste things. But how many of you know that in this upside down kingdom of God, that this cost-benefit analysis that is always going on in our head, is it worth it? Should I get this? You know, is this worth my time? Is this worth my energy? This cost-benefit analysis doesn't always work in the kingdom of God. You know, sometimes when we are wasteful, quote-unquote, towards God, he sees it as extravagant. And so sometimes we have to be careful with this what a waste mentality. And so the title of my message for you today is, it's not a waste. It's not a waste. If you guys can turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew 26, we're going to be looking from verses 6 to 13. And it's a story about Jesus anointed at Bethany. Now, when Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came up to him with an alabaster flask of very expensive ointment, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at the table. And when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, why the waste? Why this waste? Everyone say, why this waste?
Why this waste?
For this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor. But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. In pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Bow your heads in prayer with me. God, we thank you that it's not a waste. And Lord, if anyone comes here questioning whether our devotion, the things that we're doing, even walking up this hill to this prayer meeting, God, is it a waste? I pray, Lord, that today you would speak loud and clear that it is not a waste. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. You know, it's kind of funny how this passage was highlighted to me. So I know I said my mom's cheap. My mom's not actually that cheap. She's just frugal. Okay, she's very, very smart with her money. If anything, I'm cheap. I'm the one that's cheap. And sometimes I blame my mom for making me cheap. But really, she's really generous. And especially after she became Christian, she's so generous to the church. My mom's always been really generous towards others. And I think this last summer, I went home. And my mom, she treats me real well. She took me out to get facials. Okay, if guys don't know what a facial is, it's just, you know, skincare. Now, my mom is frugal, so it's not like we went to, like, Jean Roraz, like, this nice salon. But, you know, her homegirl, just arrived from China, this immigrant lady. And so she's giving facials in her own home, in her own guest room. And my mom took me there, and she was like, oh, my daughter, you know, she's in Korea. The pollution's really bad. I feel like her skin is, like, going whack. Like, can you take care of her? And so this woman, she starts giving me a facial, and she tells my mom, like, because of the pollution, your daughter's pores have gotten real big. And so she tells my mom, hey, so I have this Japanese ointment, or like Japanese, not ointment, like it's a toner, okay? It's kind of like an ointment, but it's toner. And She's like, if your daughter just puts 3 to 4 drops on her skin every day, her pores will get smaller. My mom's like, oh, really? And she's like, hey, honey, we should get that for you. And I was like, okay. And my mom's like, hey, how much it costs? And the lady's like, $100. I was like, $100? What? Like, if I had something in my mouth, it would have came flying out. It was the size of a nail polish bottle, okay? That was not worth $100. But my mom, being the loving mom, extravagant mom that she is, she gets me this little tiny bottle of toner. And so, I'm using it, but she's like 3 to 4 drops and put on, I'm like 1, 2, and I'm trying to rub it all over my face. Try to save it, you know? And one day I'm doing my makeup and I thought I had twisted it all the way. And I'm doing my makeup and I knock it over, but I think it's twisted, you know? And so after I'm done with my makeup, I look down and the carpet has a little, it's like, there's like this brown spot, and I'm like, and I lift it up and I'm like, like 3/4 of the bottle had just, like, what's that word? What's it? Seeped out? Yes, seeped out. It just seeped out, whatever. Yeah, it seeped out, and I was like, oh my gosh. And the applicator, right, was like this little eyedropper. I was like, no. And I like took the little eyedropper, I squeezed it. I was trying to suck it back out of the carpet. I spent like 20 to 30 minutes trying to suck it all back out of the carpet. But then after a while, I was thinking, oh my gosh, Em, like seriously, like if I suck it back up and put it back in, am I really going to want to put that on my face? And so cost analysis started happening, right? I'm not going to contaminate the rest of the bottle. And so I stopped. And then I think I told my roommate about it too. Remember that, Anna? I was like, this is the worst day in the world. I spilled it. It's such a waste. It's all my fault. How can I be so irresponsible? And like, I'm gathering up the courage in the middle of the day to call my mom and tell her. I'm like, Mom, the worst thing happened in the world. And she's like, what? I'm like, you remember that little bottle of toner you bought me? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, I didn't spin the thing on right. And it spilled like 3/4 of it. And she's like, oh, okay. It's okay. Like, she thought like something happened to me or something. And I was like, it's okay. And she's like, it's okay. And I was like, and all of a sudden, I felt this weird sudden peace. My mom said, it's okay. It's okay. All right. Okay. Let's move on with my life. But for the first time ever, I actually thought about this passage. And I was like, I think I kind of know a little bit of what the disciples felt. When this woman's just like pouring this expensive perfume over Jesus's head, it's like, what a waste, but my prayer tonight is that just like I kind of called my mom and she was like, hey, it's not a waste. And all of a sudden I felt peace. My prayer tonight is that we can just kind of call upon the Lord tonight and that we would hear just those simple 4 words. Hey, it's not a waste. And that this supernatural peace would come upon us in all our devotion, everything that we've been giving to the Lord, that we would feel a supernatural peace. Sound good? And so going back to this passage, all right, Jesus, he's in the house of Simon the leper. A woman comes in. Matthew, he doesn't actually disclose who this woman is. This account takes place in all 4 of the gospel accounts. Each of the gospel accounts is a different interpretation of Jesus's death and resurrection in his life. But the Gospel of John tells us that this woman is Mary, okay, Martha's sister. Matthew doesn't say it. Let's call her, I might call her the woman, I might call her Mary, just bear with me. I think I might stick with the woman, though. But anyways, a woman comes up to Jesus with an alabaster flask of very expensive ointment, and she pours it on his head as he reclined at a table. So this alabaster flask, right, if it's in an alabaster flask, it's made of a material that is best for preserving expensive perfume. And so basically it gives the perfume more value. All right, think of you paying more just for the packaging. All right, the alabaster jar, and it's filled with very expensive ointment. And she pours it over Jesus's head. Pouring expensive perfume over the head is an act of extreme devotion during this time. When the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this could have been given to the poor." Now, I can relate to the disciples, okay? Why the waste? It's not the most cost-effective decision, okay? It's not the best economical choice. It's expensive. Not only that, it's not just that it's not cost-effective, but it's also the disciples are being obedient. Matthew 19:21. Remember when Jesus, he tells the rich man, right, to sell all his possessions and give to the poor, and your treasure will be in heaven. Deuteronomy 15:11, it says that we are to give to the poor. So the disciples, they're not just being cost-effective, but they're also being very obedient. And so they're indignant. I like the word. I think indignant is such a perfect use of, perfect choice of words. Indignant means expressing strong displeasure at something considered unjust or offensive. It's almost offensive. Like, have you not heard him teach? You know? But sometimes we get caught up in the right behavior and the right beliefs and the right things to do that we forget the very thing that Mary's, or this woman, is very intently considering, which is the right emotions. The right emotions, the right heart. So today I want to talk about the right emotions or the right attitude that made Jesus disagree with the disciples and say, "I don't think it's a waste. I don't think that what this woman did was a waste." Okay, and so the first thing that I want to point out is that the first reason why Jesus did not think that the woman's action was a waste or was wasteful is because she did it out of love. She did it out of love. The greatest commandment God gives us is to love the God, the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Okay. Social work is good. Giving to the poor, it's good. But our first priority is to love God. And in this situation, the most loving thing in Jesus' eyes was what this woman had done. If we actually look at the positioning of this passage here in Matthew 26, verse 6 to 13, right before this passage, Jesus actually tells the disciples that he is about to die. Okay, he says, in two days, the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. If someone says they're on their deathbed, what's your reaction? Are you going to be like, what's the most cost-effective way to bless them? No, if someone says that they only have two more days to live, if they say they want to go to Australia, you're going to take them there no matter how much it costs, no matter how far it is. If they say they just want to visit this one location, they want to see these few people, whatever it is, you would be willing to drop everything that you have in order to fulfill that, right? Out of love. You know, here in this community, even we're expat communities, so sometimes people leave long term. And even when people leave, not just deathbed, right? But when someone leaves for a longer period of time, are we like, oh, do I have time to grab dinner with them? Do I have time? Should I purchase a meal for them? No, if they're leaving and you had a relationship with them, you want to bless them. You want to make sure you spend time with them, no matter what's going on with your life, right? And so Jesus, it's not too much for him to expect this from the disciples. And the reason why he was so blessed is because this is how the woman had responded. She responded in love. If any of you have been in love before, you know that you do very wasteful things. Yeah, you do. You'll go so far just to get the thing that that person wants to eat. If this person wants to watch this show, no matter how hard it is, you're going to wait in line all day and all night. And even though it really is a waste of your time, it's not a waste to you. Why? Because it's done out of love. But the response of the disciples to her act of love, the very right action, was what? It's a waste. This is like someone treating you to an extravagant meal before you're about to leave and your best friend telling them, that's a waste, don't do that. Go to Seoul Station and take out all the poor people out there. They need food, but more than this person. How offensive is that? That's not just Jesus, in my opinion, I don't think Jesus is just disagreeing, okay, with the disciples. I think he's offended and annoyed. Like, by this time, in this portion of our passage, he's already told the disciples that he's about to die three times. And they still don't get it. You know when you're talking and some people aren't listening to you? You have something really important to say, but no one's listening to you. I think Jesus is mad annoyed, and now he's offended. I don't know. That's my own opinion. The disciples responded not out of love, but out of obligation. See, when you respond out of obligation, it's normally out of obligation because someone told you to do it. And if someone told you to do it, then most likely there's something that you would rather be doing. And if there's something that you would rather be doing while you're doing something, it's likely that this what a waste mentality is going to come in. Are you living for God out of love or out of obligation? Because if you're living out of obligation, this it's a waste mentality could creep in. This woman, she did not do anything out of obligation, but she did it out of love. This is why it was not a waste for her, nor was it seen as a waste for Jesus. And so the very first thing that I want to point out for why it was not seen as a waste to Jesus is because this woman, she did this out of love. Now, the second thing I want to point out for why Jesus saw this as not wasteful is that it was very costly, but she did it anyways. It was very costly, but she did it anyways. In Jesus's words, he said it was a very beautiful thing, keyword, done to me. It was very costly, but she did it anyways, and it was done to me. It was done to Jesus. And because of that, it was not wasteful to him. The woman, she saw her action towards Jesus as a seed and not a sacrifice. Earlier, I talked about how I was reading about these animal sacrifices, right? And it's such a waste. Like, after it burns up, it's just gone. But see, this woman, she didn't see what she gave to Jesus as just something that's burned up. But she saw it as a seed that she was sowing into his heart. And that's what moved him. It was expensive, but she was not counting the cost and calculating everything she could have done with that money that she had just poured over Jesus. You know, as soon as I spilled my toner, it's like 3/4 of it, I was calculating. I was like, that's $60 right there on my carpet. Oh, but you know what? What the woman spilled, according to the Gospel of Mark, was 300 denarii. 300 denarii is equivalent to a whole year's wage. It's not just no $100. You know, here at New Philly, we have something called the 2020 Fund. The 2020 Fund is a fund that we are hoping to, you know, raise enough money where we can have this building that's going to be a central facility for all that God's doing here at our church. And Pastor Christian, he has challenged our community, hey, think about giving a seed offering. All right, a seed offering of 1 month's salary, your first month's entire salary. Give it up to the Lord. This woman's offering was like 12 of those. 12 2020 funds to put that into perspective for you. And I think that if she were to do it again, she wouldn't have thought twice. But still, it was very costly. But the thing about her sacrifice was that her sacrifice is that there were no strings attached. There were no strings attached. After she gave this up to the Lord, she wasn't thinking, all right, I could have sold that and give it to this. I could have spent this on that. I could have used it to better my job. I could have done this. I could have done that. I could have even given it to the disciples. I could have done that. She wasn't thinking anything. She was not thinking of any other option. She was moved to give a costly donation, not out of obligation, but out of love. From the disciples' perspective, this was a foolish sacrifice, a bad idea, and a big waste. From a worldly perspective, cost analysis, this is not amount to anything. After she poured it, she gets no return according to them. You know, it just looks like a foolish sacrifice. She suffered a big loss, got no return for it. But from the woman's perspective, this sacrifice was seen as a seed that she wanted to sow into Jesus out of love, and it was totally worth it, no matter what anyone thought. You know, Jesus, he doesn't care if other people think that your sacrifices or your offering is costly. He doesn't care if the Pharisees think that it's costly. He doesn't think if the world thinks that it's costly. But who he does care is if you think it's costly. And to this woman, it wasn't costly at all. It's like deciding whether to purchase something. You can ask your girlfriend, you know, you want to buy these new pants. You have something similar. It's like, oh, I don't know. It looks really similar to the ones I already have. It's really expensive. And they'll be like, girl, I like them. And your mom's like, you don't got no money. And it's like, everyone can speak into it, but you're the one that has to make the final decision. You know, on a more serious level, in plans in your life, moving out to Korea, choosing what kind of job to take here in Korea. These are all decisions everyone can speak into, but in the end, you're the one that has to make the decision. And to this woman, Jesus was moved because her decision was that it's totally worth it. The woman's choice was to see her action as a seed and not a sacrifice. And rather than a sacrifice that just went to waste, it was a She chose to see it as a seed and not a sacrifice. And because of that, it touched the heart of God. 1 Corinthians 1:27, it says, God chooses what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. Although the disciples saw what this woman did as foolish and unwise, it was all worth it because she was sowing a seed of blessing into the heart of Jesus and not just for mere sacrifice. And so the second thing is that it was costly, but she did it anyways. You know, has anyone ever done something really extravagant for you in your life? Like really extravagant, unforgettable. You know, we have a brother that's leaving this Sunday, Chris Prasad. He's right there. Shout out. I thought this was such a perfect message to give him a shout out because Chris Prasad, all right, he is a brother that has blessed this community and blessed probably, if you know him, every single one of you, extravagantly. The meaning of the word extravagant is more than necessary. And Chris, you know, I can think of so many times that you've blessed me extravagantly. And, you know, this brother is so crazy, right? He heard that I was really tired. And here at New Philly, we have these things called, like, Crazy Saturdays, where we have, like staff has to go to work. And then we have something called Furnace, which is, like, a leadership meeting. And then after Furnace, sometimes we have mission training. And then after mission training, we have, like, staff has one more hour of work. And then after one more hour of work, there's, like, JPM. Crazy Saturdays. It's like just worshiping the Lord all day, but for some reason it feels very tiring. But, you know, I caught myself in a place of complaint, and Chris heard it, and he sent me a message, and he goes, hey, sis, let me tell you something. This is when we still had a JPM and Furnace at our Itaewon Sanctuary, which is where he lives. And so he told me, hey, bring two friends with you to my house after all the craziness. Come and eat dinner and then go to JPM so that you have a home to rest in. And so, you know, I was like, who's going to be my lucky two friends? And then I choose two people and I'm expecting him to be home. But I get there and I'm like, hey, Chris, like, you know, how do I get in your house? And he sends me his door code. I'm like, okay. So I go into his house and I'm expecting him to be there. Maybe he's cooking. I get there. The table's set for three. There's food on the table. And after I finished eating, he said that he had to take someone's friend out to eat. He was still serving extravagantly somewhere else. And he said, hey, please don't wash the dishes. Just rest and after go to JPM. I mean, come on. You know, and it's not just after I became a pastor, but I remember even, Chris, even in my first year as an intern, I used to have to leave Friday Fire early because I lived in the dorms. And it was such a lonely trek back home. Seriously, it was. I lived in Yangde, and so I would have to leave, and I'd be so lonely walking home. We had Friday Fire every week then. And I remember Chris, he followed me, and he took the subway with me. And then he was like, I had a long walk after I got off the subway too. And I remember he was just so concerned about me, you know. And he gave me manan, and he was like, hey, sis, like, make sure to take a cab when you get off and just get home safely and rest. Like, that was my first year when I didn't have any friends. Like, that's big. He wasn't even really my friend then, you know. Man. Extravagance, more than necessary. Was that more than necessary? Yeah, absolutely. It was way more than necessary. Was I blessed? Yes. Did I remember it? Yes. See, these are all things that I would never forget. And in a similar way, Jesus, he will never forget what the woman has done because what she did was extravagant. And so the third reason why what this woman did was not a waste to Jesus is because it was extravagant. The woman, she could have just, you know, used a drop of ointment. She could have used maybe a palmful of ointment. But she chose to go above and beyond in extravagance. You know, she didn't even leave one fourth. If we look at the Gospel of Mark, even though it doesn't say here in Matthew, it just says that she poured the alabaster flask of ointment over Jesus, right? But in the Gospel of Mark, it actually says that she broke the alabaster jar and poured it over Jesus. That means likely there was no leftover ointment. If you look with me in our final verse here of our passage, verse 13, it says, truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. This is something Jesus is never going to forget, and it's because it was extravagant. You know, when I mention all these things that Chris did, especially like back in the day when I had no friends, I'm sure he probably doesn't even remember it. You know, to him, it was so small. It wasn't that big of a deal. But to me, it was magnified because it was so extravagant to me. And not only that, but when I saw, because it was so selfless, Chris, when you did those things, all I saw was the glory of God. I was like, it has to be the love of God that would act through this man in this way. And I think in a similar way, this woman, when she poured this, not only was she not counting the cost, but if she was ever, you know, even a little bit hesitant, I think it would have been because she wishes that she could have given more. She would have been sad, like, I wish I could give more than this, you know. And that's the thing about God is no matter what we give to him, if it's done out of extravagance, he's going to magnify it. If the disciples saw that Jesus was going to say, wherever the gospel is preached, like, this story must be told. I think that they would think, hey, maybe this is worth it. Maybe this isn't a waste. It really touched God's heart. Even the little that we do for God in extravagance, God magnifies. When you choose to be extravagant, people are going to think it's wasteful. But what God cares about is not what they think, but he cares about what you think. Is it wasteful? Is it extravagant? Is it too much? You know, every Tuesday night large group, every Friday Fire, moving out to Korea, my youth, 10-year commitment, 2020, what? Is that too much? Is it too much? But this is what I want to submit to you, is if we only do just the right amount every time, we just do just the bare minimum, who's going to notice? You know, there's some people, they just don't want to hear about anything that you have to say. But if you display love extravagantly, you will witness deaf ears open. You know, I oftentimes when I preach, I always talk about my homeless ministry that I used to do before I came here. And every Saturday, I would go out to the streets of Seattle, and I just had all these homeless friends, and I just loved conversing with them. And I'm sure they already thought it was extravagant enough. Like, what's this girl, you know, in this Beamer driving over to me? Like, why? You know? But I always thought, like, okay, God, like, what can I do that would be more extravagant, that would catch their attention more, that would cause them to want to be even more curious about what I'm doing? And you know, I didn't even have, it's not like I was part of some organization that had, like, soup kitchen. It was just me. And so every week I would just, you know, spend about $50 on Jack in the Box or something. And, you know, that was it's just like one shift. I worked at a Thai restaurant. And $50, buy them Jack in the Box. But every week it was Jack in the Box. Every week it was Jack in the Box. And they're like, these homeless people were like, I don't want Jack. I'm like, you're so spoiled. But you know what? These people are people too. And they like to be treated extravagantly. And so, you know, I work Friday night as a waitress at this pretty high, top-notch Thai restaurant. So it's one of the best Thai restaurants, in my opinion, in all of Washington. But I sat down with my boss, you know, after my shift, and I was like, hey, I want to submit something to you. In the mornings, Saturday mornings, every morning at 9 a.m., I go out to the streets. I talk to the people in Seattle. I feed them, and I just like to have fun with them. They need food. And, you know, our food's really good. I was wondering if, you know, Friday night, since I work till like 12 a.m. anyways, whatever's left over, do you think I could take it out to the streets with me Saturday morning? And he's the best boss in the world. He was like, you know what? I'll give it to you, but I'm offended. And I was like, why? And he's like, I'm not going to give them scraps. And he goes, what do you want? And I was like, what do you mean, what do I want? And he goes, just order two trays, $100 each. It's fine. Don't pay. And so from that point on, for months, every Saturday morning, I had to work a little bit long because I was like, come on, hurry up. You know, I'm off. But they're making like two big, huge $100 party trays of like pad see ew, pad thai, chili fried rice. Man, these homeless people were spoiled. Oh, man. In the morning, on Saturday mornings, I'd wake up like a whole 2 hours early just to stick it in the oven because it's such a big tray to like heat it up. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be late. They're going to leave and then all this food's going to go to waste. But you know what? Through that, they were just like, this is so good. And they'd be eating and slowly blind eyes open, you know, deaf ears hear. Mute, people that would never talk to me. All of a sudden, we were best friends. Some people, they don't want to hear anything you have to say, but when we show it in extravagance, not only do they open up, but they remember it. You know, in Matthew, I talk a lot about how in Mark it says this, in John it says this, because Matthew, he leaves out a lot of info. You know, he leaves out that the ointment was worth 300 denarii, 1 year's wage. He leaves out, he just calls it expensive ointment, but Mark, he calls it pure nard, very costly. And also, remember I told you that he didn't mention that the flask was broken. I don't know why Matthew left out so much detail. Maybe it wasn't important. You know, the disciples, what they were so peeved about, what they were so angry about, all right, was not Mary or this woman wanting to anoint Jesus. They weren't angry and annoyed that Mary broke this alabaster jar, this expensive jar. They weren't annoyed that Mary was using this expensive ointment, this expensive perfume. What they were annoyed about was the extravagance of it all. It was too much, ridiculous, wasteful, even sinful. You know, some of you guys here, you've given up a lot to follow the Lord. And these voices of, is this wasting my life, is going to creep up. You know, the other day, my grandma called. You know, I have pretty little resistance towards entering ministry, but I have a close relationship with my grandma. And, you know, when I became Christian, she's like, okay, you know, whatever makes you happy. And then, you know, I enter into ministry and she's like, okay, that's a little much. All right. How long? 3 years. Okay. And then now it's like, oh, Graham's like, I'm not sure how long I'm going to be here. And she's like, that's too much. And she just laid it down. And she was like, what, you're ridiculous. You're illogical. You're not thinking. Like, what a waste of the university degree that your parents, you know, worked so hard to give you. And at the end of the day, I have to make that decision. Is it worth it? Is it a waste? You know, Pastor Christian, he preached the message that we're expats on earth. And as we're expats on earth, we're going to be accused of being illogical. We're going to be criticized for not thinking straight, all right? Not knowing enough about the world and how things work, making dumb decisions, being absent-minded. But this woman, she wasn't being absent-minded. She was not, it wasn't that she wasn't considering the consequences, but it was that she had decided that her extravagance was very useful and it was very cost effective because it was about sowing into the heart of the Lord. To her, it was very worth it. You know, I think that this is a very important message for New Philadelphia Church because our first core value is be extravagant in worship. And extravagance towards Jesus is often criticized as wasteful to the world. And there's going to be a lot of things as a church that we are called to be, that when we are extravagant, that the world is going to call wasteful. And this what a waste mentality is slowly going to try to water down our extravagance. It's going to say it's too foolish, it's too costly, and it's too much. But let me tell you that God not only loves extravagant worship, but he seeks to magnify it. Jesus magnifies the foolish things of this world so that it will shame the wise. I'm going to conclude with this and I'm going to invite up our praise team. But the first reason why Jesus didn't think that what this woman did was wasteful was because it was done out of love. The second thing was that it was so costly, but she did it anyways. And the third thing is that it was extravagant. And Jesus, when he died on the cross for us, it was done out of love. It says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He didn't get anything in return, and he wasn't expecting anything in return. It was purely out of love. Jesus, he paid the ultimate cost. It was very costly, but it was worth it. It was costly, but he did it anyways. Just like the disciples felt like, man, this woman, she's paying a big price. Man, this woman, she's paying such a big price. In the same way, the world saw Jesus and they were like, that's a big price to pay. But it was worth it. Jesus, he was extravagant. If Jesus thought of us as not worth his death, then it would have been a waste. His death on the cross, it would have been a waste if he didn't think that we were worth it. But what did he do? He said that we are completely worth it. Jesus gave all he had, probably even more than necessary. The definition of extravagance. His death was sufficient for all, even though all do not receive him. In fact, his death was sufficient even for those that chose to reject him. It's too much. But was it worth it? He says, it's not a waste. Philippians 3:8, the Apostle Paul, he says, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. The NIV says garbage, in order that I may gain Christ. Are you still counting all that is lost? I know at one point you did, or else you wouldn't have given your life to Christ. You wouldn't have given your whole entire life to Christ if you didn't at one point count all as lost. And so today, what I want to do right now is I want to pray for some of you. And I want to pray for those specifically who have given up a lot. Okay, you know who you are. You've given up a lot in order to follow Christ. You know who you are, whether you're experiencing persecution from your family or whether it's just giving up a job, comfortable living, being here in Korea. It's not comfortable. You've given up a lot, and at times you felt just, God, is this worth it? Is this a waste of my time? Are they right? Are they right? And so right now, I want to actually invite those who feel that way, that need prayers of encouragement and want to hear right now that the Father is saying, hey, all that you're doing, it's not a waste. I want to invite you up here, and I'm going to ask the pastors actually to come up right now too.